good to have each of you. What a privilege to share this topic that is very important to the Lord and therefore should be very important to us. I believe most of us would admit, when it comes to witnessing personal evangelism, that I should be doing better at it. I should be doing it more often. Most of us would probably admit it. We're afraid. I mean, really, most of us, probably. There's a fear involved. And my flesh is so opposed. I think most of us would probably say that. One of the most important things we're going to talk about today is prayer. No matter where you're at, this is something the Lord wants us doing, and the Lord changes us through prayer. And prayer really, really matters. So, no matter where you're at, whether you rarely or never talk to anybody about the Lord or pass out a tract, or whether once in a great while, once in a while, or on a regular basis. My prayer is that this would be helpful to you in some way. The study, it's been convicting to me. Those categories that I mentioned, should be doing better, doing it more. I fall into those categories. I am often convicted by the Lord that I left an opportunity go by. So I need the Lord's help in this too. So with that introduction, we're going to pray and then we'll get started. Our Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we know that You're not willing that any should perish, but for all to come to repentance. And Lord, there are people around us at the stores, on the streets, our neighbors, Lord, co-workers, people at school. Lord, people are dying and going to hell every day. Father, it breaks Your heart. We know it, that it's not Your desire, but Your desire is to use us, Father. So we ask for Your help. Oh Lord, please, each one here, give them some things to take home, things to help. Lord, You know where everybody in this room is at with respect to witnessing, and You know what would be best for them to hear. We pray this would be completely of You, Spirit-led, and that the Lord Jesus would be honored, and that this would, by Your enabling, as time goes on, that there would be fruit that would come from this. For Your glory, for the glory of the Lord Jesus, we pray. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen. 2 Corinthians 5, please. Now, hopefully there will be time in the end for questions, answers. I'm assuming everybody has a handout. So, okay, 2 Corinthians 5. Our main verses are going to start in 18, what we're really going to discuss. But for context, I want to start in 14 and just share 2 points about the context. 2 Corinthians 5:14, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Okay, the two thoughts that I want to share in the context leading up to the verses we're going to cover closely. The context is the love of Christ compels us. That in all things love for Christ, pleasing our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus, that should be our greatest motivation. The Lord said to Peter, "Do you love me? Feed my sheep." Love for Christ is the motivation. And we see obedience is in the context. Verse 15, "And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them." You know, it's been shared already in the conference. Nothing he asks is too great. When we think of the Lord Jesus, God becoming a man and dying for our sins. So whatever he asks, we should just be totally willing, out of obedience, loving obedience, and just what he's done for us, the natural response to obey. So now we get to verse 18. "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." Now in these two verses, we see, in each one, we see what God has done and then what God has given us. What God has done. Verse 18. God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. I guess before we go too far, we should share a thought or two on a reconciliation, a big word. What does that mean? Well, reconciliation is the removal of enmity, strife, hatred between two parties. Now, certainly God never hated his creation, never hated sinners. God loves every sinner. The enmity is man's carnal mind, Romans 8:7. The enmity is God's law, the handwriting of the requirements that was against us because of our sin. Just this separation caused by our sin, our separation from God. So reconciliation is the removal of all that, the removal of that enmity between two parties. And if you want to even add to that, the removal of enmity between two parties that results in the re-establishment of relationship. Okay, removal of enmity that results in the re-establishment of relationship. And even another thought with it, the removal of enmity between two parties that results in the re-establishment of relationship because of a changed status. And the changed status is, by God's infinite grace, what we become in Christ when a repentant sinner comes to God and puts all their faith in the Lord Jesus to save them from their sin and to save them from hell. So that reconciliation, that removal of enmity, the removal of everything that was between, and now a former lost sinner becomes accepted in the Beloved. Wow. God's infinite grace. So that's reconciliation. God working to bring a sinner into a relationship with a holy God through the precious blood of Christ. So, again, verse 18, God reconciled us to himself and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 20. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So the Spirit of God brings that out twice. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now, this is a very clear passage that shows us God wants us witnessing. God desires us. God, you know, you've probably heard it. God could have chose angels. He could have written the gospel on the sky. God could do whatever He wanted. But He has chosen to use those He has already reconciled. And as brought out already in this conference, God doesn't force us. But it's a ministry He's given. And He really wants to use us. You're familiar with Matthew 28, the Great Commission, "Go ye therefore," another strong verse. John chapter 20, 21, "As the Father has sent me, I also send you," the Lord, shortly before He ascended into heaven. The Lord prayed something similar in 17:18 when the Lord prayed to His Father the night before He went to the cross. Very similar, "As the Father had sent Him, He's also sending His disciples." So really, we are the sent ones. God really has given us this ministry. And therefore, verse 20 is the conclusion. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." An ambassador is somebody in a foreign land representing his country, representing the interests of his king. He's in a foreign land representing his country or his king's interests. And that's exactly what we are, brothers and sisters. We're pilgrims. We're sojourners. This world is not our own. We're already co-seated in the heavenlies, but we're temporarily here. And while we're here, we represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, notice how it says, we are. And in the handout, you're seeing, be willing. Well, yeah, we need to be willing, but really, Scripture says we are. We are ambassadors. As we read on in verse 20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Has this ever stood out to you before? As though God were pleading through us? How important is this to God, to the heart of God? I mean, we know the answer. How important is my lost neighbor, my lost co-worker? We are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you. That's a pretty strong word. We beg you, we beseech you, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. This should be our attitude in witnessing, as though God were pleading through us. And the following verses, there's been various thoughts on, why did the Spirit of God through Paul jump into this very famous verse in verse 21? There's been various thoughts. One thought is, here's just an example of the heart of God, the significance of this whole issue. And the Spirit of God is just pouring out through Paul a few thoughts of the urgency and the importance of the gospel message and witnessing. So there's perhaps a built-in gospel message in it, but if we read it through with this thought of urgency in God's heart. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Do you realize what God did for you? For He, God the Father, made Him, His Son, His only begotten Son, who knew no sin. He made Him to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Do you realize the significance of what God did? You know, this our message to the lost. We implore you, be reconciled to God. Consider this offer. We then, as workers together with Him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. You've heard the gospel today. We plead with you, don't receive it in vain. For He says, in an acceptable time I have heard you. In the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You don't know if you're going to be alive tomorrow. If you harden your heart, if you disregard this, if you say later, you don't know if your heart is going to soften up in the future. To harden your heart when God is pleading with you, that is a very dangerous thing. So, I believe in here we see the heart of God, and that should motivate us to share the gospel, to be willing to just go before the Lord, and Lord, help me. This is one of the most important things in your mind. Lord, help me to be the ambassador you want me to be. So, as we go on now, we're going to start into the be willings. There's room. Thanks, Kevin. We're going to start into the be willings. And the first one is prayer. You might say, well, I've tried it. I've prayed about it. It didn't really help me. I'm willing, but I can't, or it didn't work. I hope nobody thinks that I'm oversimplifying, but the fact that prayer really is the most important part. God changes us through prayer. God moves through prayer. This is God's will. This is God's desire to use each one of us. And if we really commit it to prayer, don't underestimate prayer. This is the most important one. And no matter where we're at, no matter how afraid we are, we have a wonderful God that can work the most easiest opportunities for the most timid people if we just pray, trust, and are willing to take the steps. God can. He's demonstrated this to Christians over and over. Even for the most timid, God can work wonderful opportunities to encourage your heart and just, oh, Lord, that was so good. I think you can do it again. We believe God answers prayer. The more we grow in the Lord, the more we really realize it. Prayer is so important. And we can be confident in this prayer. In John 14:13, we read the Lord Jesus, His words, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Asking God to equip you, enable you, strengthen you, use you, provide the opportunity, give you the right words. We can be confident that each one of these is in God's will. God's not willing that any should perish. And it's God's desire that every lost soul that comes to repentance and gets saved, that that soul would themselves bring more glory to God. So this is a prayer the Lord Jesus loves to answer. And so what we're talking about is really committing this to prayer on a daily basis, if not a daily, a regular basis. You know, each one of us, talk to God about this. Start out by being honest. Lord, show me where I'm at. Search my heart, O Lord. Reveal to me my anxieties, where I'm falling short. Show me my fear, my disobedience in all this. Lord, show me and help me to trust in you and repent. Repent from my lack of trust. Lord, help me. Lord, please help me to be willing and trust you and to take the steps of obedience. Lord, please help me to be willing to let you use me and stretch me. I realize this is going to take me out of my comfort zone. Lord, help me that I would just let you. Lord, please change me. I know I should have, that this shouldn't be a just once in a while thing. This should be a lifestyle. Lord, please change me. And if we daily commit that to the Lord, or very often we pray that, it's a prayer the Lord wants to answer. Lord, please help me to be an active ambassador, pleasing to you, that this would become a way of life for me. Another prayer. Lord, please give me a burden for the lost. Oh, Lord, help me to see them the way you do. Lord, help me to see that they're not just co-workers. It's not just a neighbor. It's not just a stranger. This is a lost soul on their way to hell. I mean, do we really believe this? Do we believe there is a literal hell? I think by our lack of witnessing, and me too, I am so guilty, we block it out. We believe it, but we don't live it. You know, if God would give us a 10-second glimpse of hell, I think it would change our lives in terms of witnessing. But God's revealed. He chose not to give us a 10-second glimpse. He's chosen through his word, the words of the Lord Jesus, where there's weeping, gnashing of teeth, the worm does not die, the fire's not quenched. Luke 16, I'm in agony in this flame. Revelation 20, whoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The Lord's given us enough. So, Lord, help me to see them as lost souls. And help me not to forget. Help me to have the burden for them that you do, Lord. Part of this prayer, well, there's been times in my life when I'd go before the Lord and I'd say, Lord, I haven't witnessed anybody in a while. And the answer always comes back, Lee, you stop praying for opportunities. You know, I got apathetic, complacent about it, and the opportunity stopped. So a challenge. I'm going to give a couple challenges. A challenge. Would you be willing to pray, Lord, by the next Lord's Day, please give me an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody who's interested. Lord, I know you can do this. The problem's me. The problem's my obedience. And then if we're serious, and I've prayed a lot of insincere prayers just because, well, I should be praying about this, but my heart wasn't in it. And the Lord doesn't necessarily answer those prayers.
But that's a prayer that God will always answer. If you have troubles of having answers to prayer, let me tell you, my friends, just pray for an opportunity, and you'll get it.
He is.
And it never fails. I enjoy the witnessing. Yeah, it's a great thing.
Oh, no. Thank you. Thank you, Uncle Dave. That is so true. God is faithful. I just know that in my insincerity and then disobedience to not follow the opportunity or to not be looking for it, I can get in the way. But when there's sincerity, the Lord is faithful. He's proved that over and over. And if you pray, this has been wonderful too, is to pray, Lord, there's been times we can pray, Lord, please make this one easy. You've put me alone with this person. I'm not sure how to start. Lord, could you just turn this spiritual? Could they say something that's a wide open door? Again, the Lord is faithful. I remember this summer, I was on a business trip with a manager down in Phoenix. And you've probably noticed there's certain people that are easier to witness to than others. For some reason, there's something with us that, oh boy, this person, I don't want to, I can't, there's a problem. Well, this was a manager. My company, we got lots of bosses, and this is one of the guys I'm working for. And we're at a restaurant. We got there. I went to the restroom, and I was alone in there. I just stood and I prayed, Lord, this is one. You'll have to make it easy. I don't know how to bring it up with this guy. Lord, this is a man I have a problem with in terms of witnessing. Lord, please make it easy. And when I got back to the table, within 5 minutes, okay, this was June, he asked me what I thought about the Da Vinci Code. The movie came out a month or two earlier. And there was probably a 20-minute conversation. And the Lord, I praise the Lord, he just gave the grace to even dig into sin, and which is what we got to do. I mean, they got to be woken up to their sin. And, I didn't necessarily say, okay, you're a sinner on your way to hell, but as we're going to get into, there's ways to bring out sin without being confrontational. And I'm confident that never would have happened if I hadn't sincerely prayed for the Lord to provide that easy opportunity with him. And part of the prayer was, Lord, an easy opportunity. May I recognize it and may I obey. So, the challenge again, would we pray? Pick a day. Lord, by this day, please give me an opportunity. And we don't pick a day to put God on a timetable. I pick a day because if I don't, time will just slip by. It's an accountability to me that, well, I prayed to the Lord that by Sunday there was going to be a good opportunity and I better be watching. It's an accountability to me. It's not that we want to put God on our timetable. So there's the prayer, Lord, change us, enable us, strengthen us. But then there's other prayers. Once we get the mindset that, okay, I'm an ambassador no matter where I am. I'm going to a grocery store now and I'm in the parking lot. And Lord, will we just be continually in prayer about this? Lord, there must be somebody in there who wants a tract. And Lord, maybe you could even provide an opportunity through the tract. Lord, help me. Show me who and please give me the strength. And our accountability, we need to be, or our sincerity, then we need to be watching. Oh, there's someone alone. Is this the one, Lord? Is this the one? Oh, Lord, please give me the words. You know, good morning, can I give this to you? And then just pray, Lord, okay, whatever her response is, help me to know what to say next. God is really working, and we just need to trust Him, and look what He can do. Dave's absolutely right. You know, I mentioned a week, but we should be, every time we're out, we really should. I don't know where everybody's at in this. The timid, if you prayed a week, certainly, Lord, help me that it would get to a daily thing. You know, every time you're in the grocery store, every time you're wherever, on the street, give out tracts. We're going to talk about tracts. Another thought, pray for unique ways to give out tracts and share the gospel. We could talk for a long time about unique ways, but you know, just in our context, daily context, I mean, you're Christians, you're doing good deeds for people. Could you, just between you and the Lord, Lord, help me that every time somebody thanks me for something, I'm going to give them a track. And even for the timid, if somebody's thanking you for something, they appreciate something you did, it's very unlikely that they're going to turn down the track and treat you bad. Very unlikely. But as we've heard, it doesn't matter. Or when you're thanking somebody, you're encouraging them. Somebody's done something for you. You know, that's a good opportunity. You encourage them with the thank you. Give them some real words of kindness and give them a gospel tract. So be praying for the Lord to show you unique ways, little open doors. There's so many. We could go on and on. Okay, be willing to prepare. That's the next. For many, this seems to be a catch-22. Well, I can't witness because I'm not prepared. Well, then the counterpart, well, there's no benefit in preparing because I can't witness. We can get ourselves in these little mindsets, and you know, maybe it, in reality it's not a I can't, but it's just the flesh is too strong and I won't. But the Lord can change that too. So preparation. We read in Scripture that the Christian is likened to a soldier. It would be foolish, unthinkable, to send a soldier to battle without training. They need to be trained defensively, offensively. And we read in Ephesians 6 about the spiritual warfare and the armor of God. And our offense, so to speak, Ephesians 6:17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Preparation, a huge part of it is prayer. We've discussed that. But it's knowing the doctrines of salvation, of justification, of repentance. I'd like to just share a few thoughts on repentance. It seems as time goes on, there's confusion among Christians about repentance. Some would even say, well, you don't have to repent because that's a work, and you don't work to be saved. Well, they have a wrong definition of repentance. Repentance is necessary for salvation. Repentance is a change of mind. A change of mind that, well, I'm a sinner going this way. It's that realization that my sin has separated me from God. I've sinned against God. I'm on my way to hell. I'm going to die in hell because of my sin. My sin is wrong. And I'm turning, I'm changing my mind, and I'm agreeing with God about the true state of my sin. I'm changing my mind about my sin, and I'm willing that God is going to work in my life, and I'm going to put all my faith in Christ. Now, just agreeing with God's truth, I mean, that's not a good work. That's not a work. I haven't worked. I'm just agreeing with what God declared is true. I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I need to put my faith in Christ. I'm agreeing with God. Okay? And so repentance, the necessity for repentance, for people to realize they're sinners separated from God, well, that brings up the necessity to use the law to show them they're sinners. So we need to understand the doctrine of salvation and justification, and understanding that, well, 2 Corinthians 7:10, godly sorrow. Let me read it. 2 Corinthians 7:10, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. Okay? People need to realize they're a sinner separated from God on their way to hell. So, how do we prepare? Well, study Romans chapters 1 through 4, especially 3 and 4. Study Galatians 2, 16 through the end of chapter 3. Really get a good handle on these scriptures. I have found it helpful to create a one-page, just here's gospel verses that the Lord perhaps, well, that the Lord would want to use when talking to people. Have just a one-page that, okay, I can occasionally refer back to it. Oh yeah, I'm forgetting about that verse. That's a good verse. I need these fresh in my mind. I got a one-page list. And actually, you know, we talk about the benefits of memorizing Scripture. Well, you can, in a way, so to speak, kill two birds with one stone. Memorize gospel verses. Boy, if you tuck those away in your heart, that's sharpening your sword. The Spirit of God can use that. So this is a part of preparation. We know to be good at anything, it requires preparation and practice. It requires effort. And the more we do it, the better we get at it. And it's not that it's us, but it's through experience and being before the Lord about it, the Lord's able to use us in a greater way. So be willing to prepare. Another thought, learn different approaches for the different situations. There's religious people, there's indifferent people, there's the pagan, there's the atheist. We know that ultimately, with all of them, for them to get saved, we got to get to the point that, well, God's holy, you've sinned against Him, you're separated from God, you need to repent and put all your faith in Christ to save you. We know we got to get them to that point, but depending who they are, we got to use a different approach. Dave Dunlap spoke about the pagans, so to speak. They didn't have the proper understanding of God. They had multiple gods. Well, Acts 17, Paul spoke, as Dave Dunlap was sharing. He taught them about the true person of God, truths about the one true God. That would be a place to start with a pagan. With the religious, they're convinced they know God's word, but they're incorrectly putting their faith in themselves or their church, and they need to be woke up through, again, being prepared. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, Galatians 2, 16, there's some, you all probably know Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, but Galatians 2:16 is a wonderful verse. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified three times in one verse. Let's turn to Mark 10. We were going to go there soon anyway. This is the Lord Jesus with the rich young ruler. Mark 10:17. While we're turning there, I feel more and more as time goes on to definitely focus more on just showing them they're a sinner and not necessarily even telling them the good news. If I'm giving them a track, the good news is in there. But my limited time with them, I'm going to focus on their sin. That's how I'm feeling led by the Lord. And Mark chapter 10, verse 17, "Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother.' And he answered and said to him, 'Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth.' Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, 'One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me.'" Well, the Lord Jesus also ran into people who thought they were pretty good. Can you imagine standing before the one true God and saying, "All these things I have kept from my youth"? Wow.
There's his line right there. The young ruler was lying.
Yeah,
there.
Yes. Either lying or very self-deceived. Yeah.
But Patrick, I think if I had when I've had a child that says I'm not a sinner, okay, or when I've had adults, okay, my first question then again is, what is sin? All right? So,
I expanded on that too.
Yeah, all right.
You know, this is the mark, imperfection.
Yeah, all right, and so they can answer that. So how many sins do you have to do to make you a
sinner? None, he says, none. I'm not coming back. No, I'm good.
Well, all right.
Then you're okay. Yeah.
And so then, if you want to talk about that, you'll want to show with them that Christ did not die for the good people. So if you're good, if Christ didn't die for you, mm-hmm. He only died for me, people like me, who is a sinner. And so, therefore, those that Christ did not die for and received him are on their way to hell. I'm going to heaven. You know, I mean, I would go on a viewpoint like that, you know, with a person. And I might say that when you're dealing with people, the best thing to do is always to ask questions that they cannot answer with yes or no. Yeah. Put the ball park, put it right in their ballpark. Ask questions that cannot answer with yes or no. And I agree, I don't want to take too much of your time, but I agree that, you know, the Word of God is what you need. And for some of you people, I don't know if most of you is here, but what you need to do is to have a memory program that you're always memorizing God's Word. And don't tell me you're too old, because I'm older than most of you. Okay? So therefore, I still memorize God's Word. You know, it's exciting to see that God doesn't use just what we call gospel verses, okay? Because you can talk with other people, and I had an experience once with a woman that couldn't make up her mind, you know? And she said, she knew about it, but she said, "What will my husband think? What will my father and mother think? What will they think?" Now, you know, I said, "I just want to show you one verse, Galatians 1:16. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." And when I showed her that, that's how God used that verse to convict her. God doesn't use our just cliche, you know, of the regular verses. And that is a real joy. If you've never had that experience, I want to say, just keep memorizing God's words. Mm-hmm. I probably forgot more than I memorized, but that's all right. I still work on it.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you. Okay, so we see what the Lord does in Mark 10 is, okay, here's a self-righteous man. And the Lord went a little farther. Go and sell everything you have and give to the poor. And we know he went away sorrowful. The Lord, knowing everybody's heart, the Lord knew this man's heart, and he knew how to show this man he wasn't as good as he thought he was.
A good example for us is trying to figure out where their weak spot is.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And even children, again, I believe we should use the law. Is it the fifth commandment? Honor your father and mother?
I did that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you, tell you what, you
I,
next...
I pulled everything that I had. All, really.
Okay, so that the next time you notice to yourself, the next time that your mom asks or dad asks you to do something and you don't do it immediately, that is dishonoring your parents. That is sin. And, you know, I liked what Uncle Dave shared about, you know, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You know, if you're wrong even about one, you're a sinner and you won't have Christ. So...
I think I heard it at this conference that you can direct it to Romans 3:23 and says, well, the Bible here says all have sinned. Someone said that we don't have to apologize for what the Bible says.
That's what I did. I have, you know, Romans 3:23, Isaiah, all your righteousness are filled in, you know, everything.
Yeah.
It's just that he's good.
Yeah,
the Lord has to do it, and he can do that. I understand. I just want to make sure that I, you know, I'm prepared and do the right thing, you know, to help this kid, because I don't want this kid to go to hell.
Amen. Yeah.
But again, go back to absolutely what the Lord Jesus did when he was on this earth.
Yes,
what did he do when he witnessed? Yep. He always picked up from where the person was. Yes. By asking questions, that's what the Lord Jesus did. And you don't ask questions that people can answer with yes or no. One of my favorite questions for a starter, and if you've never used it, this is a great question. How far along the road are you on the way to heaven? That's not telling the person you're going to hell. That's not telling them that they're going to heaven. How far are you? And that can get you into a good conversation. And that is quite often answered with to me, is I'm working at it. So what's your next question? How much more work do you need to do? You know? So in other words, you're putting it always in their ballpark. Let them talk by asking them questions that they cannot answer with yes or no. And keep flowing with that conversation. But you've got to bear in mind that in the conversation, you've got to get across that they are a sinner, they need to repent, that Christ died for their sins, and where they're going to spend eternity. That's back of your mind in your questions, but it may take you a little while to get there, but let them talk by asking them questions. That's what the Lord Jesus did in every case.
And an important thing to notice here is, okay, we don't see that this man got saved. We see he goes away sorrowful. And so you can ask yourself, well, was this a unsuccessful? And no. The Lord knew his heart. The Lord spoke what would convict him, and he went away sorrowful. And the point I want to make is sometimes we can get discouraged, but if we're giving somebody a track, if we're even just a verse or two, we don't know their heart. And if all we're doing is planting a seed that they've sinned against God, there is a judgment day. It's appointed unto man to die once, and then the judgment. Just whatever seed the Spirit of God puts in your mind to plant, we got to realize success is not all. There is success, even though you don't see him get saved.
That's not our job, Lee.
And,
okay.
Yep.
So
yep.
Some plant and some water, but God that giveth the increase. 1 Corinthians 3:7-9, and then you have Jonah 2:9. Salvation is of the Lord. And my, I want to tell you, I don't worry about people getting saved. That's not my responsibility. Yes, I'm concerned about it, but I just plant the seed.
Amen.
Okay? And that's all
Amen.
You need to do in witnessing is give out the word. Yeah.
Okay. So don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Remember the Lord Jesus in this example in Mark 10. Okay. Going on to be willing to show love. Wow, we have 15 minutes yet. Okay. Be willing to show love. Be willing to care. Be willing to invest time. There are, perhaps in your assembly, there's people there that what the Lord used was the love of the saints and what they were going through, time with them, care, love, that they saw a difference. Somebody loves me. So be willing to show love. Be willing to invest time. Be willing to care. This is definitely true with reoccurring contacts. But even with one-time opportunities on the street, you can humbly tell somebody, lead them to the point where you tell them they're a sinner and needing a Savior, and they can know that you're just genuinely concerned for their soul. I mean, they can see love. And that's the attitude we need to have. And we read in Psalm 126:5, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know, can we love someone and just be so concerned about their soul and invest time in them? And another challenge, would you be willing to pray? You know, Lord, bring somebody in my life that I could invest time into them, that I could show them the love of Christ, that I could, by your grace, lead them to the Savior. You know, would we be willing to pray that and then really look for this person and invest the time in them? Watch for the Lord to answer that prayer. You know, and again, for our own accountability, you know, put a time limit on it. Lord, may I meet this person. This is for my accountability. May I meet them within this amount of time. And Lord, may I help me to love them and watch you save them, Lord. Okay. Be willing to be equipped. That gets loud, just close it. Be willing to be equipped with gospel material. Carry tracts. You can't give out a tract if you don't have one with you. Tracts are wonderful. They're door openers. They're a gift. You're giving them something. They're conversation starters. They can help you quickly assess where they're at in their, you know, just by their physical response, their verbal response, you can get an idea of where they're at. A tract contains the Word of God. There's no expiration date on it. The Lord can use it that day, tomorrow, a month, a year, 10 years later. I believe we're going to be very surprised when we get to heaven and the Lord tells us how He used tracts. I think this week we heard about one, a discarded tract. Somebody else picked up, and the Lord used it to save them. On the conversation of tracts, I think in every assembly there should be somebody who has committed themselves to reading a bunch of tracts and prayerfully selecting them and providing them for the saints. There are a lot of what I call fluffy tracts out there that there could be better ones. And carry different tracts with you. There's a tract called Steps to Peace with God for the timid. It's gentle. It's non-threatening. But inside is just very good truths about sin and repentance.
The Graham.
Yeah, American Tract Society. Yep. I'll often start with that, and if there's interest, I'll follow it up with a more convicting track, such as Living Waters, Are You Good Enough to Get to Heaven? A very good tract. I like My Substitute. Maybe at the end, if there's time, I can show you some. Yeah.
They're all good tracks, and I don't have anything against them. But I want to share this again. In today's society, most people do not want the folded track. It's too long, you know. But it's okay if you got somebody who's interested in reading. That's why I likely things such as this here, The Wages of Sin is Death, The Gift of God is Eternal Life. It's an eye catcher. This one right here, if you've never used it. See the word death? Now watch it. It turns to life. I have used this by the thousand. And this is always a good conversation piece. If you're not familiar, I would recommend this here verse. My latest thing, is give bookmarks out to the people. And they just love these bookmarks. They're short, they're to the point, and they're not all gospel verses. I can tell you in my experience, okay, that I find many people responding to the Word of God, not because I'm hammering them with it, with the fact that they're a sinner, okay? But this one makes it very clear that they are, okay? But they like it, not because of the verse, but because of the calligraphy. So, anyways, you try it and you'll love it.
That's a good conversation starter. I don't know if you've seen the smart card. Very good conversation starter, and a good gospel message about sin is on the back.
I would like to tell a funny story about the smart card. So you put your thumb on.
Yeah.
I had a young man came into our store, bought some, came back next day and wanted to return them because it don't work. Serious, true story. And what an opportunity. To share the gospel.
Yeah, these really are because, you know, you can humbly, you know, they go through it and it didn't turn and, well, you know, it didn't turn for me either. And it's because you and I are sinners. And humbly go into a gospel message. And I feel the Lord leading at every opportunity to talk about sin, but to do it humbly. You know, my leading is, if they go away realizing to in some degree that they've sinned against God, there's, you know, judgment's coming. But humbly, you know, I remember talking to a young man, and he says, well, you should read Matthew 7. And I said, well, what's in Matthew 7? And he said, judge not. And I said, well, now recall what I said. I said, you and I are sinners. I'm no better than you. We're both sinners in need of a Savior. So as humble as you can be, the Lord uses that you can dig into sin more, you know, because we're not appearing self-righteous. So just some thoughts on that. Okay, I was going to talk about different tracks, running out of time, so we'll go on. Oh, but there is track wallets. I don't know if anybody's ever run into the, oh, it's so hard to carry tracks. So you can buy track wallets. And the thing is ladies have purses. It's easy to always have a track with you. Guys, you know, this is sitting in the car full of tracks. We got to remember, I'm going into the store. Lord, help me to remember to put this in my pocket. Because otherwise you're going in the store without a track. And we need to be equipped. Okay, then after equipped is being willing to take the steps. You know, if you've never given out a tract, start with bathrooms, counters, just public places, leave them, and then work up to, you know, leaving a tract with a tip. Then work up to with a friend, with a stranger, you know, at a good time, like when they're thanking you for something. The Lord will strengthen you and build you up to the point where, you know, we're trusting in the Lord more. We'd have confidence that He's in this and it's He's working it for good. Stores, parking lots, you know, if you're shopping, my experience is there's rarely an issue. If you're shopping and you give out a tract or two in a store or three or four, whatever, there's rarely an issue. You know, if you're all you're doing is passing out tracts.
I never do inside the stores as a general thing because that's illegal.
Well, close the parking lot.
In the parking lot, you can do that.
Well, we've been kicked out of parking lots. It's their property.
Yeah, but if it's their property and they tell you you can't, then I don't feel right. I want to honor the Lord.
Yeah, so guess what I'm trying to share with that is small quantities here and there as led by the Lord. You know, it's between you and the Lord. I feel I have the liberty in a store or in the parking lot.
Well, your state's different then.
Okay.
No, I'm serious.
Well, there's two ways to look at it, too, you know, because, like, you could say the quote-unquote authorities told Peter and John not to preach anymore in that name.
Yeah.
And they said, well, whether it's right to listen to you or to listen to God, you be the judge. But we have to tell people what we've seen. And so, you know, there are two sides to that coin. I don't fault anybody for not doing it. By the same token, if somebody does it, I don't look at that as being sinful per se. I mean, that's my conscience. I can't be another man's conscience. But if your conscience will allow you to do it, if your conscience is tender about it, don't do it. Because you don't want to have a guilty conscience while you're doing it.
Because there's so many places, Charlie, that you can pass out tracks.
Yeah.
You don't need, well, anyway, you do what you want. You're a man.
You do the same, brother.
Oh, I will.
I know you will.
Praise the Lord.
I also go to Niagara Falls, and I want to say this to you people. I don't know where you're near, but Niagara Falls is near to me. Therefore, I got the three leading postcards of the falls from a company in Canada that does it. They sell the cards, the note cards, for a dollar and a half, depending on how much they want to rip you off in the stores. But anyways, I went and got those cards from that company, and in the back of the picture, I went and put a scripture verse. The next part is the blank part on the note card, so they can write their note, and behind that, I got scriptures again. Now, speaking of passing them out, I got hauled in twice on the Canadian side because that is property that's private. I didn't know that, see? But on the American side, I have every right to be there. So why go against the officials? As far as I'm concerned, I'm on the American side. And within an hour and a half, approximately, I can give away 1,000 cards. But the beautiful part about it is that, you see, they come to me for it, okay? I don't even have to sometimes give out the card. They want it, okay? But I want to say again, when you're passing out tracts in multitude, watch your crowd. If somebody refuses, which occasionally I do get the refusal, don't give it to the next person in line if they come off the bus. People are like sheep. And then you wait until they pass and get out of sight, and then you start over again.
Mm-hmm.
And if one takes it, they all take it.
Yep.
It's just a marvelous thing with the card that they're doing. But it's I have these cards, and I got mine for 19 cents when I buy them at 30,000 to 50,000 when I buy them at that rate. And it's a double whammy, so it's good. And I also want to say, in my situation at the Niagara Falls, I have nothing from the New Testament. Nothing, okay? All from the Old Testament. And that's strictly because of the Muslims and the Jews. And I can tell you stories about that. I had given out two, and there was a man that said to me, I can't take this. This is not from my volume.
And the wife was reading hers, and she said, it is too from our volume. He said, no, this is from First Chronicles. She said, First Chronicles is in our volume. It was so funny. But anyways, I've had great conversations. Oh,
I'll try to get through some of this quickly. Be willing to be inconvenienced. We're in such a busy world, and we often think I'm too busy to even give out a track. And Lord, help us to not be that way. I guess my thoughts are out in everyday life. That's where the Lord's providing opportunities. It's great to go on these outreaches, and we praise the Lord for your faithfulness in that. When I'm out in the stores and things, that's where the Lord's providing opportunities. And we need to be willing to be inconvenienced. We need to recognize divine appointments, recognize the unusual. If the Lord puts you one-on-one with somebody, our heart needs to be sensitive to why this is happening. Inconveniences, frustrations, the Lord's just shown over and over. Things happen for a reason. I remember being late or being in a doctor's office and, well, I got to get back to work, but this is taking a long time. This has never happened before. Why is this taking so long? And finally, when I just talked to the Lord about it, there's a lady there and she looks troubled. And I went and spoke with her, and she just found out that day she's got breast cancer. This is a divine appointment, and if we're not sensitive, we're going to miss them. So be willing to be inconvenienced. Look for the divine appointment. Some of the best opportunities I've had is when my flesh would think I'm too busy. Opposition, hindrances. The fear of man brings a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord shall be saved. Proverbs 29:25. If we fear man, if we fear this, a snare, it grabs you by the leg and it holds you back. Fear is going to hold us back. We need to really be in prayer that we wouldn't fear. The opposition of our flesh. I'll be honest with you. There's times when my flesh, to be honest, it says, I am ashamed of the gospel. I don't want to share with this person. And we got to confess that and ask, Lord, help me to get past this point. Help me to be with whenever you want, that I would never be ashamed of the gospel. Discouragement. We've kind of talked about that. Don't get discouraged. Don't get in our mind what we think is successful. Remember, this really is not about us. It's just in serving the Lord. As was stated earlier, we're just planting seed. It's not about you. Has the Lord ever said this to you? If you were my servant, if you were a good servant, you would not be having these thoughts. You would not be whining right now. A wonderful thing about witnessing is, I used to think when I went to Canada fishing, a neat thing about Canada was there's big fish out there. The next cast could be a big fish. Well, the Lord encourages us by wonderful opportunities, and you may have some discouragements, but the next person, you could lead them to the Lord. And the thought of inconveniences,
Inconvenient to go to hell.
Yeah. Another business trip to Phoenix, working all day. It's after 9. I'm going through a drive-thru, and a man walks up. I'm going through the window, or the big order panel, and he asks for a meal. He says, I don't have any money. Can you buy me a meal? And, well, what's the response? No. Okay, I'll buy you a meal and give you a track, or I'll spend some time with you. Buy you a meal and spend time with you. Well, I felt the Lord's leading. The flesh, it's 9 o'clock at night, I got to get up. The inconvenience, the Lord gave the strength. I asked him what he wanted. We sat in the parking lot. I believe that man got saved that night. His name's Frank. This summer, I mean, I think the Lord just overwhelmed him with, you know, here's a stranger. He's sitting down, he's eating with me, and he's sharing me. He had heard some about the gospel in the past, and at one point while I'm talking to him with tears, he asked, so what must I do to be saved? I mean, if we're willing to be inconvenienced, the Lord can work wonders. Resources, Living Waters Ministry, www.livingwaters.com. They've got a CD called Hell's Best Kept Secret. It's encouragement and ideas for witnessing using the law. If you've never heard that, I find that very helpful. We give them away. You can call them, and for $5, you can get one of every one of their tracks. Really unique tracks. They also have a DVD series on witnessing, if your chapel wanted to invest. Let's see, what do you do if you get somebody that is interested? We know we got to get them in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. This is Gene Gibson. There's a whole series of these. This is the first one, Survey in Basic Christianity. This is excellent. Chapter 1's Why Should You Believe the Bible? Two chapters about God, one chapter about man, and then nice and progressive, probably 6-7 chapters on the gospel. Just very good. Get somebody that they're repeatedly in the Word of God. Now do this yourself and then go through it with somebody. The Lord can really use it. One last thought on showing somebody they're a sinner. You know, ask them, have you ever told a lie? Yeah. What do you call somebody who tells a lie? A liar. Have you ever stole? Yeah. What do you call somebody who steals? A thief. You can do that with idolater. Adulterer, blasphemer for using the Lord's name in vain. Get a person to admit, you know, most people will admit to a few of those. And so you're going to stand before God, a holy God, as a liar, a thief, an adulterer at heart, and a blasphemer. Are you going to be guilty or innocent? You know, show them. And you can do this humbly. And I was going to share this earlier with your question, Patrick. There are, and Dave's comment before that, yeah, people don't even know what sin is, so you got to tell them. And teenagers, you know, there's teenagers that won't admit they're, you know, they just, no, I'm not a sinner. Well, did you ever steal anything? No. But what works on teenagers is, have you ever copied music? That's a good one. Have you ever copied music? Well, did you get the permission from the record company? No, you're a thief. Okay? And then even people that, you know, no, they'll still say no to that. Well, how about at your job? Have you every minute at work done the best you could? Well, not every minute. Well, you're being paid. You stole time and money. You know, there is clever ways to show someone they are a sinner. Okay, we better close. Oh, Lord, thank you, Father, for the privilege of being used by you in this most important topic. Oh, Lord, please help us to be willing. Help us to pray. Lord, we know you can and will change us if we're willing. Please help us to be willing. Help us to just trust you and go out and start passing out tracts and sharing the gospel. Father, we pray this for your glory, for souls to be saved. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen.